This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yes, here he is, Mike Winters. How you doing, Mike?
I'm pretty good. I'm dry right now, and it's not raining on me.
No, they say it's going to rain tonight, though.
Well, it rained on me all day, so, you know, and I was cleaning gutters.
Oh, miserable.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was doing them barehanded, and because it's just the way I had to work. And,
man,
my hands were frozen solid.
Oh, I'll bet.
It was raining, it was cool. It was good. Yeah,
I'm sure.
Made me feel alive.
Yeah, I'll bet it did. Or froze.
Or froze, yeah. Well, thank you for listening today. And if you have a question about your garden, your lawn, I don't know why you question your lawn right now. It's soaking wet. But if you have any questions that you would like answered, maybe you're going to prune something but don't know how, or plant something and you want some advice, I can give that to you. And all you have to do is call 673-4464. We'll get you right in here. You ask the question, we'll have a good conversation, and I will help you all that I can. All right?
There you go.
And in the meantime, it's kind of interesting. This landscaping job we're working on out here and off of Cherokee Drive. And it's been so stinking wet. And it's been, just a miserable job because it's wet. Puddles and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday, we put in a brand new sod lawn. Mm. And that was a real challenge.
Yeah.
Because the soil was so wet that and we had it covered with plastic for 2 days to make sure the rain didn't destroy the grade and all that kind of stuff.
Jeez.
And it worked to a certain extent, but still, it was still very, very soggy. And so we had to take, we took 3 sheets of plywood and made a ramp out to the edge where we started our sod. Uh-huh. And the guys stayed on the plywood and laid the sod and walked on, and then we just moved the plywood around. And it only took, twice as long to lay the sod. Because
inch by inch.
Inch by inch. It was crazy. And I'm thinking, man, oh, man, why did it have to rain so much? But when it was all done, all said and done, it looked good. And there was no dips and no holes and no, because in the plant beds adjacent to the lawn area, one of my guys just inadvertently stepped into it. And it only sunk about 4 inches, and had we not put the plywood down, that we couldn't have done the sod job, because it would have messed up the grade totally. And you got all these holes in the lawn; it don't work that way.
Mm.
But the most interesting part is apparently it was the next day or this morning, directly across the street there was a big tree at one of the neighbors' homes.
Uh-oh.
And my brother went out there to check and see how the water levels were in to see if we could get anything else done today, which we didn't. But when he went out there, the neighbor's tree from across the street had fallen across the street, blocked the entire big deodar cedar, blocked the road, and thankfully it kind of fell, not straight across, but kind of at an angle.
Mm-hmm.
Had it fallen straight across, it would have landed in the middle of our new sod lawn.
No. Horrible.
Yeah, and it's a mess. I mean, it's all the way in the street. I'm sure that was earlier today, so I'm sure somebody's already started cutting it up and moving it so people could get by and all
free
that.
Free firewood.
Yeah, big old tree, too. I mean, the diameter of the trunk was probably, 18 inches or so, and it's about, 60-foot tree, something.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe 70-foot tree.
So it was kind of an older tree.
Yeah,
medium.
Medium-aged.
Middle-aged.
Middle-aged tree. But it was, on the outside of their yard. And Cherokee is a two-lane street with bike paths or a walking path on either side. And like I say, it came all the way across that street.
It was
so wet in there.
Yeah.
And the wind hit it just right, and it just, boom, right now, bingo, laying in the street. So.
Wow.
So, check your trees.
Hopefully there won't be any more of that.
Well, I think that with the rain that we've had and, you know, those winds we had the other day, I mean, it blew half the nursery down. And, you know, because things were sitting on top of the ground in pots.
Yeah.
And that wind sweeps through there and goes, boom,
off she goes.
And for the next half an hour, at least, you're picking up pots and trying to, and the wind's still blowing. So what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, what's
where
the
are you going to put them?
Where are you going to put them? I mean, they're toast. Oh, jeez. Well, now that the rains seem to be back, and they're back, there's kind of less enthusiasm for yard work, I find.
Mm, yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, are you afraid to get muddy or wet or cold? What's the matter with
sink
you?
Into the mud?
Sink into the mud in your yard. Yeah. However, there are still some projects that need to be addressed.
Ah.
You know, and the rain does show us some things, and but I'll get in that a little bit. But the easiest job would be to do your pruning now, because,
okay,
you know, things are dormant, maybe not totally, but mostly.
Yeah.
And most, like if you got some small trees that don't need a lift truck to do, I mean, it'd be a good time to get out there. And all the leaves are off, so I like to wait till the leaves are off, simply because then you can see the structure of the branches. And you don't miss anything that way, because you're looking at just branches instead of a jillion leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do your thinning and your topping, and it's a whole lot easier when the leaves are off. And then there's, you know, and little all the shrubs that have been in your yard for, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, and they were small when you put them in.
Sure.
Yeah, they were, you know, 3-4 feet apart.
Little babies.
Little babies, right. Now they're halfway up your garage wall or your front entry or something like that.
Teenagers now.
Whack them back. Don't let them do that. Don't let them take over. It's better to, you know, get out there and get her done now. And then once you get it to where you want it, you can keep it that way if you spend just a little bit of time every year doing your just kind of keep it in bounds. But you can do that in the rain. You can do that in the cold. You can do that, you know, if you dress warmly and all that kind of stuff. But those are good projects and easy projects that you can do from now till, say, middle of February with no harm to the plant, no matter. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't suggest that you cut them down to 6 inches above the ground, but, you know, if you got a 4-foot shrub and it should, you only want it at 2 feet, go ahead and knock 2 feet off the top and 2 feet off the sides, or, you know, whatever. Each shrub is different, and, you know, it'll be ready for next spring, and it'll be neater, it'll be cleaner, it'll be easier to manage once you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that and I've said this a lot, but I find that a lot of folks, think that you're going to kill or damage the shrub or the tree if you prune it. No, it's like cutting your fingernails. Your hands still work, and your fingers still stay on.
Yep, and it grows back.
And they grow back, and you have to do it again and again and again, and there's no pain. I've never experienced pain cutting my fingernails. You know, except when I hit the skin, and you go, "Oh no, that was too short."
that wakes you up.
Yeah, that does. That does. So the plants won't suffer from a severe pruning, and like I say, this is a great time to do it. And you know, that great big overgrown shrub that's at the beginning of your driveway that you, when you're trying to pull out of your driveway, you have to pull halfway into the street to see if there's any traffic coming. Knock that puppy down, you know, it's okay. And it's like, woo. And this thyme also can be used for transplanting shrubs.
Oh, I thought you said you're going to burn them.
Well, you know, let's say you've got some shrubs and and you've pruned them and you say, you know, they're still too crowded, but I think I'll move them around. You know? This is a great time to do that. You're not going to hurt them. All you have to do is get a good ball of roots and don't hack them and whack them, but... We have special shovels that are they're a round point shovel, but they're also flat. There's no curve to the to the shovel itself. And what we do is we file them so they're razor sharp, so that when we transplant things, you stick this straight shovel in that's razor sharp. It cuts the roots cleanly. Mm-hmm. And so you just go all the way around the shrub or the tree, just all the way around the tree, and then hit it on the bottom and cut any tap root. And the whole ball of roots comes out in a neat package, and it's ready to go. And all you have to do is take it to your new location and pop it in. And then you're good to go.
Ready to roll.
Yeah, ready to roll. And it could be a little messy now simply because the ground is so stinking wet. But it's doable, and here's the deal, in your planting in your saturated soil. As you dig the hole, you know it might be filling with water. It does. I mean, sure. it's can be filling with water, and you can't plant your newly dug up tree or shrub into this pool of water. So what you do after you've dug the hole. To the size that you want it, and the size should be larger than the root ball by at least 8 inches of soil that you could put underneath, and 8 inches all the way around, so that the new root system can get established. But there's your pool of water. If you just put it in that pool of water, you're wasting your time. It is not going to make it. So have a little a cup or something handy, and remove all that water from the hole. You know, it's not going to instantly fill back up, but you'd get all the excess water out of the hole, and then fill the hole with dry potting soil, and then plant your transplant in that dry potting soil, and firmly tamp it in and all that, and make sure it's good and straight. And then the water that's around is naturally going to seep back in, but it doesn't have as much room, so it won't be a pool of water. Mm-hmm. It will just be very, very wet, but at least it will drain quickly when the rains do kind of let off. With that potting soil, it'll drain very quickly, and the roots will have an easy time acclimating themselves and getting right into that. So that's the secret. Just put good dry soil, and the dry soil, like it could be a potting mix, but if you had some bark mulch, fine ground bark mulch, you mix that in there with it. Don't even try to mix the mucky, heavy duty soil that you took out of it. Get rid of that. Put that in the backyard somewhere. Let it dry out. And next spring you can chop it up and use it for something else.
Throw it at the neighbor.
Yeah, throw it at the neighbors, but don't try to hit them. But that dry potting soil acts like a sponge in one way, but mm-hmm. it also keeps the maximum flow of water in the ground. It keeps that at a slower pace,
right.
if you will.
Yeah.
And if you've got something in there, it displaces the water, so it's not the swimming pool type effect. It's wet, yes, but it's not instantly drowning.
It's just right wet.
Yeah. Yeah, just right wet. That's good. I'll have to remember that term. Oh, gosh.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break.
All right, here we go. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
No, you don't. Not here, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We're back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show here on a wet Wednesday in the Valley.
Yeah, it's a wet puppy out there, so I know, like I said, there's not a lot of enthusiasm to get out in your yard and start puttering, if you will.
Yes.
You know, it's not one of those pristine fall days. Supposedly, it's not going to rain on Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, that's what I heard, because I hope not, because I got 6 loads of gravel coming out to my road so I can grade it.
Yeah, it says patchy fog morning, sunny in the afternoon.
That's what I want. That's what I want. I'll just dress light in my parka and go out there and sit on my tractor and go for it.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, we're talking about trying to do yard work here when everything is a swamp. It's not fun, and but sometimes it's necessary. And if you're in my business, it's necessary every day, and much to my dismay. But I just went through the process of planting and transplanting and pruning. These are things you can do. Now, lawn work, of course, is a little trickier. If you have an established lawn, and it looks like, you know, kind of sad, maybe a little bit of brown, and maybe it's thick. You could thatch it pretty easily. I wouldn't do it with the machine right now because it would really tear up the ground. But you could take a big old garden rake out there and rake out all the dead stuff and cut the lawn short and give it a good shot of fertilizer, and it would probably green up and be a little bit healthier before, you know, December, January, and February maybe. But it would be good for it. It's not a bad thing. But as I said earlier in the program, we did install a new sod lawn the other day, and it was a real challenge. Yeah, that's good. We both had to, and it was raining. Maybe it was raining, but we had the plywood walkways. Excuse me. We had the plywood walkways that we walked on with the sod, and then one of my guys was on his knees on the plywood, rolling out the sod, and you know, we got the job done. But it's like, you know, I haven't had to do one of those in so long. But we had already ordered the material, and it was coming on Tuesday by hook or crook. We could have canceled, but if we would have canceled, it'd be worse now.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so you gotta, oh gosh,
take it as it comes.
You got to take it as it comes. So. If you do want to have sod, you can, but if you can grade your soil to where it's smooth and level and all that, I don't know, maybe you can, and maybe you have a good drainage or something like that. And you know that there's more rain coming, like we did. We covered the whole lawn area with plastic to keep it from being a swamp, and that works to some extent. It's still wet, but it does work a little bit.
Well, keep some of it out.
Yeah, some of it, that's it. But you may have to use the plywood trick, or even if you had a 1x10 or something like a walkway or to go out and actually lay it. But you got to protect the grade. You can't. It's a whole lot easier to wait until it's dry enough that you can actually walk on the ground without totally destroying the grade and putting giant footprints everywhere. But you can accomplish it, but it's a whole lot of work. And And if you do it right, you're going to be good. But it's also a good time to look for low spots in your landscaping. With all the rain, you know, you're sitting there at the living room window and you're looking out at the yard, and in the middle of your lawn you see a small lake.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, I'd never noticed that before. Well, that's, you know, for some reason or another, the ground shifts or whatever, and maybe there was a... a weak spot or something, and maybe the yard was only installed for the last couple of years, and we haven't had the normal rains, so yeah. You wouldn't see that kind of thing until we get the normal rains.
The normal.
So where it actually saturates it, and then there's a low spot. Well, you know, just take note of that, and then in the spring when it all dries out, you can go ahead and fix it. Or if you have a low spot in your beds, this rain helps you to see these things so that, hey, as soon as it's dry enough and I can get out there in March or April or whenever and do this repair, it's handy in that way. Look at it, you know, take a walk around your yard and inspect and say, what can I do to make this better? You may have to do a little bit of ditching, like on the edge of your lawn between your shrub bed and your lawn. Maybe a little bit of a ditch that will lead any excess water out to, the driveway or out to the street or something like that. So, and then just take note and watch the rest of the winter how that is effective, and if it works well, that's a pretty simple fix. But if you need something more, then you're going to have to put some actual drain pipe in there possibly and some rock to prevent that from happening, because it ruins the landscape. Too much moisture in one spot ruins the landscape, it ruins the plants, and it's just a long-term hassle and a long-term detriment to your landscape if you don't fix it.
Right.
And like I say, normally in the spring or the summer, it might feel a little bit low, but you don't pay any attention to it because you still can mow it or you can still rake it or still do something to it.
Yeah.
And you don't see this kind of thing until we have the events that we've been having. So, you know, take a little bit and go out there and get her done, and it will really
pay
help.
Off in the long run.
Yeah, in the long run, it's gonna pay off, and your yard is gonna be a whole lot better. You know, it's just a little bit of soil, a little bit of mulch maybe or whatever, and or maybe you. Like I say, maybe there's a real drainage problem that you haven't noticed, because in the last 4 or 5 years, we haven't had this kind of rain. It's been below normal precipitation, and it's been scattered, and so we haven't had the intensity of the storm so that these kinds of problems didn't show up as readily. They may have a little bit, but
not constantly.
Not constant, exactly. And so here's a thought for you. Believe it or not, within the last month, I've probably seen this. I can't remember exact what date it was, but there were still sprinkler systems on. You know, you're driving through a neighborhood, and there's a sprinkler system going. I'm thinking, why in the world is that sprinkler system going?
Right.
So if you got a sprinkler system, turn it off. You know, there's no point. Maybe you forgot, and that's okay. I forget things too. And turn that puppy off. And
yeah, we won't call you any names.
But. No, of course not. But and if you have a way to drain it, go ahead and drain it. Or usually they drain on the lowest head anyway. So, but no sense in watering when we're getting inches and inches of rain.
Mother Nature's doing the job.
And even though we've had a whole lot of rain in the last week, 2 weeks, that kind of thing, one thing you ought to be is thankful that we actually got it, because at least the rivers have come up. You know, there's a place there in Dillard behind where the old Dillard school was, and they parked the school buses, and there's a trucking outfit back there, but there's a big place you can drive right up to the edge of the river and look at the level of the South Umpqua. And I do that in the summer. I'll get my paper early in the morning and park there and read the paper or something like that, and I, as the summer goes, you can see the rocks appearing and more rocks and more rocks, and then there's pools that disappear. Well, I went up there the other day. The rocks were gone, baby. I mean, that South Umpqua was flowing well, so that there was more. To me, that says there was more rain in the higher elevations than we actually received here. So it really has come through. And without that rain, you know, summer is not not the, you know, when,
healthiest
when,
or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, summer comes in, and when you get 90 degrees for a month straight, your plants suffer. And if you're watering, your water bill suffers, too, because you're paying a whole bunch of dollars on all that stuff, and you just want to... We need that consistent rain till about, you know, first part of April or so, and then it can be sporadic until about June, and then we're pretty good to go.
Then we'll have our 2 days of summer again.
Yeah, 2 days of summer, and then, hey, we're back in the fall. Oh, gosh. So another aspect of this planning process of being cooped up in the house and saying, well, what should I do? You know, is there something I can... And you're looking at your yard and you're saying, well, let's see, if we had one of these, or if we had a fire pit, or if we had a patio, or maybe a retaining wall, a decorative retaining wall, or, you know, something along those lines. But your landscape plan may include, you know, patios and flagstone or pavers or those kinds of things. And then there's trails that you can create that are interesting ways of separating sections of your landscape and also give you easy access to parts of your yard. You know, if you need to run a wheelbarrow around, you don't want to run it through the lawn too many times because that's when you start creating ruts. So a little decorative path, you know, with gravel and maybe lined with some larger rock on the outside of it. It looks good. It breaks up the landscaping and it makes it makes it more interesting, if you will. And then let's say you wanted to build a retaining wall, and maybe the retaining wall is one that needs to stabilize a slope. Maybe your backyard kind of goes up to your next door neighbor and you have a problem keeping mulch up there or keeping soil in place, or, you know, because you just got some shrubs and things. Well, a small retaining wall will sure help you. Now, I'm not talking something that you got to use a ton of concrete and all that, but these blocks, the concrete blocks that you can actually stack, mm-hmm. and Willamette Greystone has them, and the box stores have them occasionally, and you can go pick out some very attractive things and build a nice retaining wall just to keep your landscape in place, and then you separate the slope from the flat areas.
Keep it under control.
Yeah. You do have another break? You're looking
we
at
do.
Me
yep.
anxiously. Okay.
All right. I was. All right. We'll be back here in a couple of minutes with more Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, when in doubt, you always blame it on your advisor.
Yeah, right. Blame it on somebody.
Yeah. On the Bossa Nova, as the song goes.
Oh, on the Bossa Nova? Okay.
You don't remember that song?
Yeah, that's from 1937 or something.
Something in that era. Anyway, we're back with Mike Winters getting into the weeds here.
Yeah, getting into the weeds, all right. And if you have a question about anything I'm talking about or even anything I'm not talking about, 673-4464 will get you right in here and we can talk about your item of interest, and maybe I can help you with something and make your life a little bit easier, or at least give you some detail on how to do it. So don't be afraid to call. I'm friendly. I don't bite. And right now I'm talking about retaining walls and patios and, you know, trail systems. And these are things in the planning process that you're going to kind of look at it and plan it and look around and see what kind of materials you would need so that when it got dry enough, next spring sometime, when it got dry enough, you could actually accomplish these things. And I was talking about before the break about retaining walls, you know, made out of stacked block. Now, some folks don't like the stacked block and they want something more formidable. So a formed concrete wall is another type of retainer. It's a whole lot more expensive, and it's something you cannot do in wet weather. It's something that would be a summertime job. But, you know, if you want something that's 4 feet tall and you're going to hold back a lot of ground or something like that, it's maybe some folks like a formed concrete poured wall. Well, that takes a contractor, of course, and they can be relatively expensive, but if that's what you want, I mean, it's at least you can explore the other methods that I've been speaking about with the stacked block, because I had one client, he and his wife installed a block wall in their backyard, did a really good job. They had never done one before, and the thing about their wall, it I think it was about 3.5 feet tall, and it was of different sized blocks, so it was like this gigantic puzzle that they had to fit everything together. And I avoid those like the plague. I want one size, and you know, you stagger them and you stack them and they look good and they're a nice finished product. Well, this was more exotic in appearance. I mean, it's a great looking wall, but, and I says, you two did that? And he says, yeah, we did that. That's how long it took you. It's weeks. Weeks.
Look like something out of the 60s?
Oh, it's, well, maybe not out of the 60s, but it, you know, it was something that I thought a contractor had done it.
Oh, I see.
You know, because it's complicated. Yeah. Because one block might be a foot long, and then there's another block 8 inches long, and then another block 4 inches long.
Huh.
And so when you're putting them together, not only, well, you're creating a pattern, which really looks good, but you have to do it in such a way that you don't run out of blocks toward the end and say, well, gee whiz, I got this space here. Well, you used too many of these big ones down here.
Yeah,
you should have saved a few big ones for this other end, and
it
would have been better.
Yeah.
But it really came out beautifully.
Nice.
And so we landscaped our yard, and now the wall really looks good. It's got landscaping and everything to it.
Cool.
But the form concrete is like I say, it's a contractor type job. Unless you're a concrete contractor, you can do it yourself. But the block walls are, I think, a little bit more interesting, and they're more natural appearing. The one I built years ago in the back of my place, about almost 100 feet long, somewhere in there. But and my brother and I did it in probably took us 2 weeks to find, you know, because we work on it 3 or 4 hours one day and skip a day and then do another 2 hours. And it's held really, really well. And it's kind of a rough block on the outside face. It's rough. It's not smooth. And over the years, the moss has come down, and it looks really cool now.
Nice.
It's really ancient looking, like it's been there 1,000 years, but
and
it does the job. It does. And of course we put drainage behind it, etc., so that the rest of the hill wouldn't come down and push it out of the way
down on top of you.
But you know, again, there's lots of books with photos on all sorts of retaining walls, and you know, this what I'm telling you is to give you ideas. You know, how do you improve your landscape? How do you make your yard, you know, maybe more usable, or just more picturesque? And you need to think about these things if you're going to be there a long term, and you're going to use your yard. And someday, should you go to sell it, a landscaped yard that's, you know, fairly well done, the house sells a whole lot quicker than a non-landscaped yard, or a total, you know, just kind of a plain green lawn and a few shrubs and a tree.
Blackberries.
Yeah, blackberries are, you know, the pride of Oregon. Oh, gosh. But But, you know, you can get some books, a lot of big color photos that you can, you know, you can see and get more ideas from. And you can get those at the box stores, or I think probably Walmart has them, Costco has them, Lowe's, Home Depot. They're, and they have a whole magazine section, and they're usually put out by Sunset or Ortho. And, you know, it'll give you step-by-step instruction and repeat a lot of what I've just told you here as I'm speaking. Mm-hmm. But it'll show you how much and that kind of thing. So it's, if you can look at a picture and duplicate it and follow some simple instructions, you can do this kind of stuff
yourself.
You'll
be in luck.
Right. Now, maybe you don't want a block wall. How about some big boulders? You know, big boulders, you know, as long as you can maneuver them to the spot, you can have big boulders and stack big boulders, maybe two or three levels high, and it's more of a rustic kind of wall. But when you stack boulders, there's always space in between the boulders.
Right.
Well, what I've done with some folks that have done that, and they say, well, you know, it works, but it's not, you know, it's just a bunch of boulders. Well, but there's spaces in between. And so what we did on this one job is all those spaces, we filled those spaces with topsoil. And then we planted a ground cover type of evergreen in there. And then that's enough soil for the ground cover to live. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of spreads over the boulders. And then it really looks natural, looks good.
Yeah.
So you can do that kind of thing as well.
Clever.
Yeah. And there are a lot of these hanging around Roseburg. If you're looking, you can find them. You can find them. But... you know, do your research and find something that's going to fit your style, if that's what you want. Or, you know, call a landscaper such as myself. We've had a lot of experience doing this, and we can help you design it and tell you where to get the materials. Or if you want, we can build it for you. But it's something that really changes the outlook of the backyard or even the front yard. Now, patios and pathways are fun to build, and they also add a nice look. And I talked about gravel pathways earlier, but there's also flagstone that you can use. This is, you know, very informal look, but the flagstone, it's maybe 2 feet across, but it's not perfectly round or anything like that. It's real natural looking. You still have to put a gravel base down for stability, because you don't want the flagstone tipping as you walk on it. You want to make sure that it's solid.
Yeah.
So that when you walk on it or your kids run on it, they're not going to fall or trip or hang something
up.
And
then you get sued.
Yeah, your 6-year-old son sues you because he fell down in your backyard. You know?
Yep.
I've had that happen. Cost me $10. Settle the suit. Okay, here, let's go get some ice cream. And we'll put a Band-Aid on that puppy. But, you know, patios of flagstone are beautiful. There are spaces between the flagstone because they're, like I say, natural. They're not round. They're not square. They're natural. There's little spaces in which you can plant a very low ground cover type to kind of fill those areas, and they're easy to maintain. They get a little rambunctious in growth. Well, take a weed eater to them and prune them. You're not going to hurt them. Most of the ground covers, if you plant them in the middle of a road, they'll still grow, or on a sidewalk. They're very hard, but some simple steps are necessary to keep in mind. The first step is to prepare your ground. Your ground has to be prepped. There's no shortcut to that. The soil has to be compacted and level, and it has to be, you know, smooth, all that level. And once you've laid out your path, you make sure you remove any vegetation to bare ground. And grade the soil to smoothness. You might have to till it first, then smooth it out. It's like you were putting in a lawn, only you're going to put in a path. And then you compact it with a roller, maybe a lawn roller, or you rent a compactor from one of the rental companies and compact it. Make it solid so it's not going to sit there for a year and then the next year be a little bit lower or mushy or anything like that. And once you've got that done, you want to take some gravel, like half-inch crushed rock, maybe 2 to 4 inches deep, depending on what your needs are. And then, again, you smooth that out over your ground, and you compact that. Then you really got a good solid base, and you can line your pathway with larger rocks, or you can line them with concrete block or decorative block, something that's going to keep the gravel in. Or you can lay, like I say, flagstone in that. And then there are pavers you can also have that are round or square. And some of them have a design on them. Some of them are kind of rough. Some are kind of a reddish color. Some are more gray, like a concrete look. There are some that are kind of a tan. There's a lot of different varieties. It's not just this gray thing that walks out, that you walk out on.
Right.
But you can just put them right into your compacted surface, and they're not going anywhere. They're not going to move on you. They're solid, and you can put them close together. You can space them out, and again, if you space them out, there's ground covers you can plant in between them, and they all look really good. So there's a lot of color, a lot of styles, and a lot of sizes of whatever material you want to use. You'd want to flick the button, huh? You want to go on a break, don't you? I see you.
Yeah.
Go for it.
All right.
I'll be back.
All right. We got to switch a couple of switches. Be right back with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And I assume it's still raining.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Oh, good. Thanks. That really cheer me up if it is. Anyway, I've been talking about, flagstone or pavers that you can have in a pathway, and you also make them in patios. We've done several small patios, 20 by 20 type things off the back door or something in a yard or even in the front yard. And the same process is necessary as far as the bare soil, level, compacted, sturdy, and with your gravel, your pea gravel, or your quarter inch minus gravel, whatever you choose, that is also compacted. And then when you lay the either the pavers or the flagstone, it's all level. The foundation is your most important part of the whole situation, and the better you make that, the longer you're going to have success. I mean, you may never have to rearrange anything for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. Who knows? And if you do it correctly, if you just kind of smooth it out and don't compact it and just kind of wiggle it in without some gravel, it'll do well, okay, for, you know, a year maybe. And then when the winter hits things and you walk on it, well, it's going to loosen up a little bit. It's going to sink a little bit. The level will not be as good. And if you're using flagstone or even pavers that are perfectly round or square, let's say you're out there the next following spring and you've got a one edge is a little bit higher, maybe a quarter inch higher than the one next to it, and you happen to be barefoot and you're walking along and bing, you stub your toe on that puppy, you'll know that I'm right when I tell you to make sure that thing is level, because you don't want to do that. It's not a lot of fun. And I can speak from experience on some of that, because I've done that way back when. But if any of these flagstones or pavers or anything that you use, make sure that you get ones that are at least an inch thick. There are some that are half an inch thick, and I've never used them because it seems to me that they would be too fragile. They would break. They'd be harder to level up and get right, but the thicker, heavier ones seem to work. And of course, they're like I said, they're smooth ones, they're square ones, there's round ones, there's some that are hexagon shaped, and you can get them like 2 foot squares or 1 foot square, that kind of thing. And with all, some of them have designs in them. Some of them, like I say, you can mix the colors if you like. You can have, you know, gray and gray and tan in the same one, and it might be a little, I don't know, busy. But if that's what you like, go ahead and try it. But the point is, you want to go and look around at the various box stores and Willamette Greystones and those places that handle these items, and see what they got. Walk through and look and see what's available, and see if that if that appeals to you, you know, color wise or size wise, or if you're going to do it yourself, you don't want to get something that's 75 pounds that you have to heft around, and do you know, just be reasonable in the size so that you can handle it if you're going to do it yourself. But again, the last hint, the native soil has to be level and compacted for the good look and the stability, with no wiggle or wobble movement when you walk on these things. Or, you know, if you put a chair out there, if it's a small patio, you've got a chair, you know how when something's not level, you just kind of rock back and forth a little bit? That gets to be a real pain, you know, and dangerous, yeah. And the same thing, like I say, no matter if it's a path or a patio or whatever, just do that. And, of course, like I said earlier, the retaining walls, they're going to be a bit more work. And but the same procedures need to be followed, like the leveling and the compacting of the base where you lay your bottom row of block or anything like that. Because when you get that done and when you get that right, the rest of it goes up. And when you have the finished product, you stand back and look at it, and it's level all the way across the top. It's amazing how many things I've seen where this one is wobbling, and this one's up, and this one's down, and this one goes up, and then and that's not very attractive at all. In fact, if you try to fix it, you have to undo the whole stinking thing and start all over again. Exactly. Are we done? Okay, thanks for listening. I hope you learned something, and I have some kind of a new topic next week. I haven't figured that one out yet. Oh, it's not. The sunshine is 70? 80. All right, my day.
Catch you later.
All right, thank you.